Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice. And no liability shall extend to the host, guest, or agents of IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you're listening to Al-Islam-based conversations. We are excited, as usual, to be on tonight, and we hope that you will join us, and we will continue our talk. But first, let us begin with the beginning that we always begin with, and that is that we make our intentions to not waste your time or insult your intelligence. As I said last week and the week before that, and probably will continue to say, is that this sort of qualifies me in my eyes and hopefully in your eyes that I'm dedicated and sincere about what I try to share. And I stand as a human being, you know, knowing that things happen. Like I wanted to get started and and lost my phone. Didn't have it until now. And so now I have it and I feel a whole lot better because a lot of that burden that was on me, you know, but what brought me through is what is bringing me through, has brought me through, will bring you through if it hasn't started bringing you through, and that is trust in Allah. Trust in the Creator that brought you here in the beginning. Without Him, we wouldn't even be here. Now, I know the parents and everything and all that and everything. Yes, they played a major role, but the source that provided us with what we have to procreate and really provided us with a very enjoyable entity so that we can procreate. You know, I don't want to get graphic, but I mean, sex has appeal. Sexual intercourse has appeal to those who are married and non-married. But what we don't look at, if we look at it the way I just mentioned, it's to procreate. Now, what does that mean? If you're not procreating, or if you're not, no, you're not violating if you're not procreating. You're violating when you take it to give it more power than it should really have, like they're doing it, you know, and they're making comparisons, and is this good, is this bad, and increasing the amount of places that you can have it, and on and on and on. Now, I'm not talking about locations. I'm talking about locations on the body. This is sex. This is sex. This is sex. You know, but how did they get that far off track when in the beginning the whole process is one part, body part connects with another body part, stomach starts swelling, and then you're all pregnant. But in the meantime, people saying turn it into a joy thing, and also a determining factor whether you get married or not. People want to sample the goods before they say yes. That wasn't there in the beginning. You're supposed to did your homework to see if there's an attraction, see if there's value, see if there's belief systems. And then that is the determining factor because what? That's the lasting entity. That's what brings it together. That's what holds it together. That's what keeps you there until the end. Not the good, better, best, not the that vow. You know, you're going to stay together no matter what. You know, you have to keep the marriage because it's half the religion. You have to keep the marriage because it's half of the religion when the marriage is doing what the marriage is supposed to do. And you haven't got your vision of it contaminated. And so many people, like we said last week in a couple of other programs, marriage is just not what it used to be. And people are not staying married long, and they cite irreconcilable differences. mean we can't even make it no matter what we try to do. We just give up. We throw in the towel. Last little thing on this. We can't solve any problem until we discover why it is a problem. Otherwise, you're just guessing. You're just shooting in the dark. You're just, somebody said that you should have this and you should be doing this, and we never got around to it. So we had two children, and I'm leaving, with the children, and you're going to take care of us, and, you know, like, because my lawyer said, you know, so you can see how convoluted it can get. What started out very simple process, very endowed and very dignified and very free will and what it was, no compulsion on your part or her part. You can't go buy people like you can with your dowry. You can't circumvent the wally if somebody wants a wally. You can't get out of having a contract if somebody wants a contract. But a lot of that is people think it's outgrown. It's not necessary now. I love you. You love me, right? So we do this. You're Muslim. I'm Muslim, right? Yeah. You looking good. I'm looking good. You know, I love you. I love you more. Conversations be happening and people get married. Have a bunch of children real quick. This is the wife. This is the mother to be. Y'all plan it out so that you can plan to have the children when you're ready to financially and mentally and spiritually take care of a child or more than one child. I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again, the second child phenomenon. I'm a little off track, but we're going to get to this thing called life because we're talking about it, bringing the real life into the world like you were brought into the world. And that's the process that we're looking at right now. To discover what we're looking at is life. We want to look at life. We want to define it. We want to take a couple of examples. We want to cut it up. We want to go to a couple of books and see if we are where we need to be with that particular entity, and we are managing it the way it can supposed to be managed, and we have control over it. We're in the driver's seat and not somebody else. And it starts, like I said before, with the womb. See, that's the starting point there. And when you enter into the womb and you impregnate, and you and with the woman and the baby comes, and he comes into the world 9 months later, we need to be what? Ready. You know, we don't need to be talking about to the child's face later, or even to our little old in-house joke. You know, you was an accident, right? Who wants to know that? Who wants to be told that? Or some other kind of thing. You're not really committed because you feel like you were kind of in bondage. He was kind of ready, and I was kind of ready, but we wasn't really ready. So you should have just kind of put things in place so it wasn't nothing happen until you got ready. But if we just have that passion going for us, and no real sophistication going for us, then things happen way before. It's called premature, way before we're ready. And next thing you know, the children are having to be raised, but they weren't ready. And it doesn't really matter the age of the parents. You can be up in the age and still not be ready. I'm not saying waiting that long. I'm saying if you get married up in the age and you decide, okay, when are we going to have children? How many children are we going to have? Are we going to have children? What does the Quran say about having children or not having children? You know? So that statement is based on this here, and we're going to get into this thing called life by saying this. A lot of the premise, a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight, even though we look like we're talking in other areas and other situations, is that if we don't get an Islamic education, we won't have an Islamic life. You can have full Muhammad Ali Akbar names. You may name your children all kind of things. This is a delicate subject, yes, but it got to be had because we won't get the blessing. Never will the believer get what he plans to get into. He changes. Can't get what God has to have or the Creator has to have, has for us until we educate ourselves on a higher level than just the ritual and just the actual label and the dress and a couple of verses and a couple of chapters. Remember, it's memorization, recitation, application. We say what? The best for last. You there yet? No, I'm not. I'm having a conversation with myself, in a sense, and I'm encouraging us to do the same thing. Don't get there by getting in over your head with situations. I'm married. We got children. We got to make this thing work. What we have to do is educate ourselves so that what we bring into existence is Islamic life. Now, you got to be sheikh to do that? No. You got to have it as a priority, and you got to make room for it along with everything else. So that means what? Some things just aren't going to get done until you do the thing that you've prioritized and say, I got to do this. This is necessary for me even to say I'm a Muslim. And that is be educated about what it takes to be a Muslim. And then have a good source, because we've talked about this before too. We're not here to be Islamicized, Arabized, we're here to be Islamicized. And those that are in the community that I'm going to speak of specifically, we have gotten access or been in association with the type of leadership that we need to be educating ourselves with our knowledge, which is what? The knowledge of the Quran and life example of the Prophet, which means is what? Once we get it, we're supposed to share it. We're supposed to give it to other people or share it with other people so they can do the same thing with their life, a version of Islam, the way we did. Because that's what it's going to be, the bottom line. That's why you got all these different kind of Muslims and all these school of thoughts and everything and whatnot. I'm not necessarily endorsing it, but the minute it leaves your mouth and goes to somebody else who's not of your ethnicity, they are the same race, but then we are a human race, they're going to start doing what they do because of what you do. Now, when you get too Islam, too ethnicized or racially or tribal or whatever, then the Quran and religion and the life example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would check you because that's what you got to safeguard. You do a double take on. The last move, it didn't really feel too smooth. It's kind of bumpy, kind of rough to do. I don't know if that was Islamic as it should have been. We better back up. And you see many scenarios like that. The wise men and Moses, and they lose the fish. They had to go back. Certain things, he promised he was going to be patient about, but he wasn't. Because he didn't fully understand. Is that just some kind of story? No. It's a major problem that we commit and we don't realize it, and that's addressing it, and we don't realize that either. It's just a good story to tell. Oh, that's a good story. Well, and he was in there, and then he got down in there, and he got the wealth, and it's told regularly and frequently. But nobody looks at it to see, not enough people, if they're not careful, would just hear a good story and has a few little things in it that you could benefit from. Definitely patience and getting ahead of yourself and claiming one thing when you're not really there, because in order to be there, you got to have more than knowledge. You got to have knowledge of the thing, application of the thing, and also understanding of it. How does it fit this situation? Make the connection so you can see how it fits the situation. Then you can make the transition to make the transaction. Now, I'm not bragging. That's a handful right there. That's a lot. Because until we make the transition, you can't make the transaction. And when you make a transaction without being able to be capable of it, it doesn't go all the way. It's like at the bank. You got in, you put your card in, but you don't forgot your pin. You can't go any further. Or you go in there and you're making a deposit and you put your money in and it sends it back to them. You're telling you, I can't process this junk you just gave me. Here, here's your money back. I don't even want it. Now try it again. Put it in there. Make sure everything's turned up on the right side. Now you make the transaction where you transition from taking the money out of the machine and putting it in your pocket. But if you don't have the process down, you can't even do it. You got everything to do it. You got the cards. You got the ATM machine. You're ready to do it. Boop, it stops you at the gate. That analogy is the same thing that can happen with us in our religion. And I mentioned this before, just briefly, and I'm going to do it again, just briefly. One of the big setbacks for African Americans or new converts, reverts, new people to the religion, bid'ah. Know what it means, know how it's applied, and know when it's being said to somebody who hasn't a clue, and now they're finna misinform you and I about bid'ah because we're on a small little level. It sounds so impressive. It sounds scary. Oh, my God. What did I do? You failed to get an Islamic education. You failed to get an Islamic indoctrination. It's not that you're a W.D. Muhammad Muslim. It's not that you young to the game. It's not that you didn't get the right sheikh. If you will go with good intentions, Allah will bless you to get what you need to have Islamic life and an Islamic education. And we were talking about this in the class. In the beginning, or in the way, the value of whatever you're doing, sometimes you have to make commitments that are very testing. I had to do that. I was in New Mexico. I'll tell my story a little bit, then you can see what applies to your story. But I was in New Mexico with wife and I think two children. And as we began to increase more, and as we lost one, as I was beginning to try to transition to from New Mexico to Arizona, because I didn't have the facilities and I didn't have the school for my children, and I could see 2 or 3 more years of that public school, and we're going to have a problem. Got there, but we didn't have a school. When I say we, I'm saying we, African-American community under Imam W.D. Muhammad, had a beautiful masjid, but we didn't have a way to teach our children. And until we got it right or thought about it, we didn't want to send our children overseas just yet. We didn't do that until the leader did that and said, okay. Because you come from the skillet to the frying pan when you go, okay, we don't have it. So we're going to go where they're going to give us what they got. But what they got is going to do more harm, because now you got to undo that to give them what they needed in the beginning. So which one do you do? Do you stay there without it? Or do you leave and go get it where it's at? Or do you get a homeschool and you bring in somebody? So what I'm saying, we have to solve that problem. And sometimes you think you solved it because you got a masjid. The masjid can only do so much. If the people in the masjid and the accommodations that they need based on their demographic, it's been determined in certain locations and it hasn't been determined in other locations. And we were talking about this yesterday, but it looks like it's gotten popular. It looks like it's doing things that it's not doing. And we got to be able to talk about that. And yes, it's challenging to talk about because you're saying, well, this and what, who determines that? Not me, not you. Islamic education determines the Islamic life that we're living in and the way we're projecting it forward. And there's a lot of things that we just don't know, so we don't know what we need to know. Okay, let's go through that again. Because I didn't realize how valuable it is to what I just said, not what I just said, what Allah blessed me to say. That particular little thing is just what Imam Muhammad does, or did. He took little simple formulas like that, and the power was, whoa. That first 3 words, the first introduction is a volume within itself. We don't know. Stop. we don't know, okay, that means you're in the dark about something. What you don't know, oh, you're walking around thinking you know, and you don't even know you don't know. Oh, my God, it's double whammy there. But the finality is that makes it beyond double whammy is that you don't know what you don't need, what you need to know. Oh, my God. What are you seeing? The three wombs. One, two, three. Three steps produce the three wombs. And it produces an awareness that, oh, wait, let me look at that. Let me see. Is there anything that I don't know? And the reason that I don't know is because I don't know that I don't know. And the reason that I haven't done anything about it because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do when I don't know. Do I go to the shack? Do I go over here? Do I move over here? Do I go over there? Tie your camel and trust in Allah. The situation requires for you to sit down, think it through, and make a conscious decision what you're going to do. Live with the consequences, and don't be afraid. Oh, better move. I didn't take my time. I just rushed and jumped. I heard the songs on them. They're doing. Do your homework. Or even a more better term, research it and find out if it's really going to meet your needs, because our needs aren't going to go away. You're going to get there, or you're going to get married, or you're going to be with somebody and find out, I don't need to be here. I ain't ready for this. This ain't working like I thought. I was a little hasty. Overlook. I got needy and I got lonely and I wanted the problem to go away, so I just jumped up, man. They told me that's where it was at, man. They jamming there. Maybe they are. I'm gonna read it from this book to tell us that that might not be the formula. And guess what? Not guess what. We not even play guesswork, but. I was hearing this conversation last night on the phone in the class. And then I'm looking for, okay, I got three books really. I want to read a little bit from each one of them. So I just started scrolling through, okay. Then, boop, right there in the beginning, stopping right there. Boop, got to say this. Get down to where I'm, the second part, which is, I'm going to say that, for the, but it is the second part. It's just what I'm talking about, what we was talking about in the class. Not what to do, what not to do. Or understand when you're not doing what you need to do. See how versatile that is? You can flip it and do reverse engineering on it. Oh, no, that ain't my problem. My problem is I did something that I didn't need to do because I didn't know what to do. So I'm over here with a crowd of people. They're in the same predicament. I think we all did in a bag of chips. And we got the potential here to do all that. But presently, we're not doing that. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that's going to catch up with you. And next thing you know, you're going to be in trouble. Because while you was doing all that and not really making that progress, somebody who was your competition is going to make them your crowd believe that they got what they were looking for over here with you, over here with us. You need to jump ship from that, man. That's a dead. They ain't going nowhere fast. Big shot, big time money, man, but you need to get what we got. And what I'm saying is that that should not be one of the problems of Imam W.D. Muhammad's community. It ain't got nothing to do with his absence. Got everything to do with what he said we need to do, because one day he wasn't going to be here. And lead up by a little hand and help us. We can say, Imam Muhammad said, Imam Muhammad did it. Woo, 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 woo. Let his hand go. Don't let the rope go. Hold on to the rope. Because without the rope, you're in nowhere. Because he's no longer available. 2008. Man, time flies. 2008. Is that 16 years? 16 years. Think about it. What have we been doing in those 16 years? That's a good question. And not a good question because I'm asking it. I'm saying that's a good question to ask yourself. take a good look, take a deep look at your life. 16 years. It seemed like yesterday when they told me, show you how I was asking how not quit playing. Sister said, do you think I'll be playing with like something like that? I was so out of touch with reality, I thought the man probably would never die, at least until the way, way after Farrakhan died. I mean, that was my measuring stick. I was way off track. But I was on track with, I was a student and a follower of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So when he left, it didn't leave. He didn't leave. Because what? His message didn't leave. The message in the Quran said they crucified him not. So they can't take the message from us. And death won't take the message from us, what I'm saying. The only way the message is taken from you after the person dies or after they try to hook up some kind of crucifix is you didn't take note of what he said, when he said, I'm not going to be with you one day. Everything that I got, I left here. And the main thing I got that I left here is the life example of Prophet Muhammad and the Holy Quran. Just like it was given to by him to us and all the ones who came after him, I'm giving the same thing back to you. So what does that mean? Get into the notes that's going to get you there. Get a teacher that's going to help you get there. And recognize when you don't have it. There's a saying. It's philosophical. It's, it has usage. Okay. But you have to be cautioned. I'm not saying it's two sayings, really. When people want to volunteer. You know, you should vote the person in, not the person who volunteers or wants the job. It's not that kind of situation. And when you start hearing the pronoun I, and it's not followed by Allah or something that really relates to, you know, I'm going, see. That's a red caution sign. This is a we program. This is a approach. Some things I know, you don't know. Some things you know, I don't know. How are we going to get there together? Once we stop acting like I this and I did that, I won't know. They'll tell you there's no I in team, turn the me into we. All those little catchphrases are designed to catch you before you jump off the building and get too excited about the Bismillah you just learned. And I'm not trying to put anybody down. Learn the Bismillah, please don't stop, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's way more to unpack as a term that's been used than it is than we want to realize sometimes. And sometimes when we unpack it, it's not our job to give that piece of information. So guess what? We got a puzzle, but that corner piece ain't there yet. Isn't that what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? I'm that corner brick. I ain't bragging. Based on where we at now, where we get, what it's faint and came to. Based on what the little bit that I know and I read and I've been applying and the spirit that's in me and the awareness is in me, I'm that one. So what I got to do is to help you do what you got to do and start acting like I'm the one. Not in a braggadocious way, not in a whatever, but in a way that I was sent to do. Everything I'm doing now is because I was born to do it. And one of the things that's being done now, I see people doing it. I heard it on TV first. Now I'm seeing the reality of it. We have to clean up our act. We have to empty out that stuff that's not going to be beneficial and helpful and put in the new supercharged premium stuff. You can see why some things are not getting done because the octane in our gas is not high enough, or the seed in our that we planted is not powerful enough or pure enough. So we kind of dragging the ball. We kind of missing the mark. We kind of not where we could be, should be. And we ain't going to beat nobody up. We're going to change our priorities. We're going to change and get on a routine that's going to get us there. We're going to do the three-tack beers after we get in a position to get there and stay there and ask a lot of bring others. But at the same time, realizing how this process really works. And one of the things is, I read from the book, Life, the Final Battlefield, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Let me see if I can get that real quick when this was actually written and put out. Oh, okay. This was after him. This was, anyway, it doesn't matter. 2009. But he mentions in the opening here, human essence lost, future lost. Right there, that big statement, boom. It'll tell you that when you don't have this, your future's not bright. It ain't going to be like you think it is. And ain't nothing, you can't hope, wish, and pray, wishing, and hoping, and praying. Yeah, it's part of it. But until we get what we need, which is an Islamic education, to get an Islamic life, this is going to be very informative to saying you don't know that you don't know, and you don't know what you need to know because you don't know what you don't know. When the human essence is lost, the future is lost. So what happens when the future is lost? The life, the battlefield, the final battlefield, you're not going to win it. So what happens, you won a lot of battles, but because the main battle you didn't win, you lost the war. Now, that's strong. Well, I don't know why they want to hear that. What you're trying to say, brother, I'm seeing what the book is saying. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm saying there's a cautionary note that we need to take now. No doubt about it, Allah has blessed us beyond and beyond. And we qualified. We needed that and some more, considering our condition that we're in. But in order to help the world who is not in that condition and not really thinking anything going to come from us because we live in that condition, so we need to not be thinking about them so much right now, but thinking about what we're going to do to get our act together so that people won't look at us and say, they don't know. You know, what is it? Somebody has, what's the name of that? The king has no clothes? And it was spotted by the baby. Because it wasn't in the front, it wasn't covered, it was the back. You know? And nobody would tell him because he was the king. So he walked around half naked. Half aware of what we need to be aware of. That's the only way that's going to work. Otherwise, it's just a joke. Okay? Somebody telling a joke about the king. You know? But it's valuable, philosophical type of thing. Get fully dressed. Now, don't wait until a perfect storm, but don't not be having balance in your approach. And validate. Have some validity of what you got and what you're using, and then Allah will show you when you start using it because the results that you're getting, you know it's coming only from Allah. And Allah doesn't give. It's because he got, oh, look at there. There's a guy. He's walking around there bumping into the light pole. Let me give him some knowledge. No, it doesn't work like that. We don't qualify knowledge because we're bumping into the light pole. We qualify knowledge because we don't want to bump into the light pole and we see all the knots on our head from bumping into it and we wish that we wanted that to stop. And we make a sincere dua, a prayer to ask Allah, would you guide me? Because I've been misinformed, I've been misguided, and I'm tired of hitting my head against the stone wall over there. I'm tired of getting knots on my head. Now that Allah can come. But just because you're getting knots, then I qualify you. You shouldn't have got the first knot. But now that you've got several knots, it's got your attention. That's good. Got our attention. That's good. That's good. We know it's okay. Something I'm doing wrong. I don't know what it is yet, but something I'm doing wrong. Because I see people over there that ain't got them, and they don't even supposed to be knowing what I know. I know what I think I know, and I'm getting all these knots and things. They ain't even getting none. Smoking, drinking, cutting the waste. Something wrong somewhere. And you're right. It is. I'm seriously wrong. And, you know, they got this thing woke. You know, people are woke now. Yeah, they also got the Walking Dead. One of the top-selling movies you know, right up there with the Simpsons. I think they're going to close out the final edition after so many years. You know, but they're still making use of it. They're bringing it back. The Planet of the Apes. The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I don't know what it is. But I know who they're talking about. It's like they're doing with backpacks. Backpacks became very popular in the 1960s. Because they said notebooks and literature and stuff that they had to bring home was more. But it really took off. And it had all kind of deuce and that, and just like with the, what is that? Not the suitcase. I forget what it is. That came on the set. Now in the 80s, different color, different style, different whatever, it really got popular to where it is now. But when I look at it, when I see it, and I see how many people are using it, and I work at the school, and everybody almost got one. It's just like the telephone. But what they don't realize, when you put that backpack on your back and you have it on there for as long as you have it and you're walking and you're doing everything with it because it has your vital stuff to do, the computer's probably in there, books are probably in there, you're going to wear your back out. And we need our back. So we need to take care of our back. But if they got something going with the donkey and with carrying books, that you're not getting what you need, and when you get out there in the world, you're professionally equipped, but you're not personally equipped. So what does that mean? I have an advantage over you now because I know what you're supposed to have, and you're not getting it. You're not even thinking about it. You're listening to what I'm selling you, my bill of goods, and you're buying it hook, line, and sinker. Don't want nobody to say nothing to you. Don't want nobody to tell you nothing because you're intelligent enough to know what you want out of your life and what you're going to do. And you already got a plan. And basically nobody can say this to you, that you're a bad person. You're not a bad person. I'm not a bad person. And you're going to step out into the world with all the madness going on. People telling you when you come to Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What are they alluding to? What should be happening? I'm a tourist. I'm going to Las Vegas. But look at the first word. I don't know what the Vegas means. Las in this Spanish, you know. So it's Las Vegas, Los Angeles. We get it. But when you add the English, on your way or in this trip, you lost your way because you got lost in Vegas. You lost your morality. You lost your dignity. You lost your purity. Because that's what we do when we go to, that's what Vegas does. The one or two times that I went there, that's what I was there. I was on a mission to play the slot machines and go to the strip. I wasn't Muslim then. I was only 19. But I'd heard so much about it. I said, yeah, I got to do it. This is the spot. I never seen a city like that. The strip lit up like it was daylight. The one on Bannon was in everything, the washing machine, in the bathrooms, at the washateria, everywhere. And the people there had a different approach. They say if you party all night, it's all right. And they got busy. And they take you right with them with that spirit. Had I not been, in the military and I had to go back after 3 days or whatever, you know, and it's not even close like it is now. They got it down to a science. And you got poor Dubai over there trying to duplicate it. And to some degree duplicating it. You know? I think they have some problems. I don't know what it is, but that's what's going on. Same thing is happening with this YouTube. Man, it is taking the world by storm. Because there are some people who are making a lot of money. They're making it fast. and they selling their soul, and they throwing their dignity out the door. And whatever it takes, and if they can't do what they what a big money is, they go to the one where you can get the bigger money and do what you can't, what you're supposed to not be able to do on YouTube. But what I've seen on YouTube, none of that should be legal. Highly suggested sometimes it literally just takes place. But what they're suggesting is very, very, very disruptive to the family. They got some stuff on there that's just unbelievable. And it's decadence. Practiced by people who are supposed to be intelligent. And on someone who's coming to the world, has no clue, no intent, innocent, unscripted, I'll put it like that, a blank piece of a cloth, a seed that needs to be watered and whatever. And here they're introducing them to all kind of vulgar, sacrilegious, violating sacred bounds of an innocent being for their own good, and then telling them you're going to make us rich, or you were great, you same as you saw with Brooke Shields and all those people, drunk. But some people are not even drunk; they just see this is a poverty-ridden country where we live in, that I'm living in, and I'm going to put out my best foot, and we're going to come away with this thing nice, living large and in charge. And they're not playing. I mean, they're going for the juggler with their stuff. And they're not even looking to see the damage that's been done, the carnage. Because once you go down that strip while you're still innocent and you've been taken by someone who's supposed to be your mother or your father or your sister or your brother, the trauma is unmeasurable. Because even if you don't know what the question is, you know that this is questioning, what did I do to get this done to me? You're going to go where blame needs to be go first, but then you're going to ask the bigger question. God, where was you at? How'd you let this happen? I wasn't good. I was 3. I was 4. See? And God is not in charge of the devil's corrupting the situations that we find ourselves in. He's good and only accepted what's good. Right? And I'm not the one to make the call on that. You know what I'm saying? I make the call on the fact that I was out there mingling. I mean, deep. Because I was curious, and I'm A-type. When I go hard. And I'm not bragging. I'm saying, but there's other people who are a little less. They're a little stinker here and stinker there and try here and try move. Wow, 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 woo. But I had a grandmother who instilled in me, you know, there's 4 types of fool. And the biggest fool is the old fool. So don't get down on any lane and walking down any street there, and just because there's a lot of people, the next thing you know, you don't went the distance on this stuff. You work hard, play hard, and it's not gonna get it. But I had enough of the Lord's prayer, on my knees praying to God and asking him, now lay me down to sleep, pray my Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake up, pray my Lord my soul to take. I did that enough that when I called on him, after I was out there acting a fool for all them times and having a good time at 17, hadn't said the prayer in more than a hot minute, long time. But what? Subconscious? Muscle memory, and also the memory that's there in your mental memory. I quoted it verbatim for the best of my ability, the way I heard it, and it touched my heart then, and it touched my heart now. That's what? God answers prayers. That's what they're saying. He didn't say God answers fools. I was a fool because of my behavior. I was a fool because I was misguided. I was misled. But what he heard was a sincere voice calling out. I ain't forgot about you. Have you forgot about me? Are we saying that? Are we knowing that we really need to say that? Or are we just in that where we don't know what we don't know and we don't know what we need to know? I'm telling you. It becomes a conversation that you might want to have. Don't have to invite anybody but you in the mirror or you in the conscious. We've got to have a talk. Time is on our side. But if the number's been counting, it's been 18 years, and it don't feel like it. And I don't really have a grip on what I was doing, what I am doing, what I need to be doing, because I don't know when it's not going to be. Life, I'm not going to have my life. I want to qualify for the other life. Am I doing that? Am I really giving it the thought? Am I really giving it the action? Am I really putting myself in perspective? Am I really saying I'm giving it my all? I'm making the sacrifices because I can't take any of this with me. I better take note of that right now. So what should I be trying to take with me? A track record, a set of things that show us in good respect and good regard. When it's looked at, it holds up because time was utilized wisely. And what I didn't know, I started trying to know, and I got around people who did know, and they wanted me to know, and I started acting like I could get what I needed to get. To be what? Born again. Resurrected. All of that language is telling us what we need to hear so we can do what we need to do. Because sometimes it's just not clear. And when we do it, it's not the move that it should have been, and we say, dadgummit, but what is Allah telling us when he tells us, I will forgive you? What you need to do now at this point is to forgive yourself. No one steps out there, a live person, and kills themselves by doing something that they shouldn't do. So what was not alive in you? Our awareness was not alive in us. Alive is that four-letter word. It's a noun. And when we look at what it means, it's an animate being, not an inanimate being, lacking the power of motion, inanimate. All the properties have come on board. All the things that we have in our possession are now possessing us. Your thoughts will tell you what to do if you don't tell them. Your appetites will have you eating up alive because you're just itching and scratching. You can't scratch no more, but it's still itching. It's still desiring. It's still curious. It's still imagining what it would be like if A, B, C, D, or G. So you got to what? A little fantasy. You're entertaining the idea. Because they've been promoting it, you know. They got these people stepping out there with half-dressed and just ridiculously dressed. And they get busy with their cameras and take cameras, and next thing you know, Pinterest and X and Instagram and all of them, they got it. You can look at it. What somebody had on there, the Coach Sheila or Coach Shella or whatever it was, what they dressed up, what they came on, what they call in clothes. And they're having a big fight and meeting about the tracksuits that Nike's making for the females, really. And just any of those type of events. And finally, because women are not having that, you're just not going to send me out there and expose my sexual parts, sexually objectify me, and call it a uniform. Now, I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm telling you, that's what's happening to other things going on. The same thing that they told us in Subliminal Seduction. This book, the pages is yellow. It's not what you don't see that sells you. You know what it said? Excuse me, I'm going to say it right. It's what you don't see that sells you. That sounds like somebody can cast a spell on you and get you to do something. All the high expensive stuff is on the high shelf, supposedly the healthy stuff. But the sugar pops and all the other stuff is right there at the what? The same eye view as the child. And what does the child do? Embarrasses you with his little crying or her crying acting in the store. Okay, goodness, shut up. But who did that? What didn't you? What did who? You didn't see you got. because it goes right back to where we started. The family is being eaten alive, and you out there having babies and not able to control you or the baby or the husband or the amount of whatever's going on in the house that's producing the baby, because that's what it was supposed to do, procreation. You do that, and you're going to get pregnant. That's what it's designed to do. But what's the other side of you is that you look at the locations. One is in the lower part of the body toward the other, toward the end. Then you go to the midsection and go up. And you find the location of all the things that you need to do. You got the five senses. You got to free the what? Dome. That's the circumcision you got to make and take. You didn't say male, female. You associated with male. Sensitivity's there. You got mocha hair. And free to make the decision that says not either or, but and both. Why we say and both? Because the duality is going to exist. Our created thing in noble pairs. That's the dignified way to do it, is what he's saying. And you dignify yourself when you do it that way. Because the outcome is going to be like you like it. It's not going to be you and soul your soul. We made a good choice. No problem, no pressure to do. We did it together. We came together. We had the child together. We're going to raise the child together. We're going to raise the children together. This is mine, and you are mine, and we are going to have a family that's governed by what? Islamic life. They're governed by what? Islamic education. And we're going to ask ourselves, are we really doing everything we need to do to get what we say we need to get? Because now it's done changed. We do know what we don't know, and we do know what we need to know. And we're not going to be still until we know God's word, his way, and his will. I hope you heard me. This is not poetry. This is a process that will get us back our lives. That we'd even maybe know we had lost it. Human essence lost. Will manage to lose the future loss. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. Human essence lost, future lost. That's what Imam Muhammad opened up the doorway of this book. I picked it up. I haven't let it down since. Grab me. I see you. 773. And we're gonna get this thing right. We come too far. We went through too much. We have a cause to tell our story. And like the lost poet said, are you doing it for a cause or just because? Got to answer that question. Because if you're doing it for the right reason, guess what? The result's not going to be right. It's not going to happen the way we think it's going to happen. But we're not doing what we need to do the right way we need to do it. And we need to look at that before we run out of time. So that's my plea to me. That's my reminder to me. And I remind you as I remind myself. Look at the clock. See what time it is. 773. Looks familiar. State your name and where you're calling from. We have a question or a comment.
Assalamualaikum. Samir Muhammad. Glad to be back. I had to just step back for a minute. Brother Pasha, I know, alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. I know the prayers can answer. For the most part, what you shared in public with us tonight, I had asked a lot for that opening in my life. And you addressed so many issues. That I didn't know was missing. I did not know how to ask it. Always trying to help others and be there for others. And hadn't really prepared myself, even in Islamic knowledge like I thought I had. And so a lot of things wasn't working for me in my life. I was sincerely trying to reach for it, but I was missing the mark. And Lord just blessed you to say so much tonight that filled in those gaps for me. And I just so appreciate it. I don't know if I can even say all of what they will, but I know my spirit knows. They know they realize when they resonated with me, and you said it, and you thank Allah for answering prayers. You just hit on everything that I feel like Allah needed me to know, you know. And I asked them today to reveal to me. I didn't know how it was going to come. You know what I needed to know. What was missing for me. And move me in action with the understanding of it. And I have to listen to the tape again, you know, because I know that this is what I need, my soul needed to hear. So thank you so much for the pasta. May Allah continue.
Come in. That's very much love. And, you know, and thank you, because that's what we want to hear, that people are hearing and they're applying, and this is getting through, because it's not my message. It's just my job. I was born for this job. I had a little time to figure it out. I thought I was going to be an imam. I mean, I do a little bit, but I'm a Muslim businessman. But I'm attracted to what we need as a people, because the leadership that we've gotten is no excuse for anything not to be happening in our lives the way it's supposed to be. And it's one step at a time. It's one thing at a time. It ain't, and you heard one, you're going to go and set the world on fire. Get the light on. Keep the light on. Get the right light on. And move forward with the light. Here's another thing that Imam Muhammad says in this. Here we talked about what it means to be human, or to have human life. Life goes down and not up. If you don't have it where it's supposed to be, life goes down and not up. That's something to think about. But then he goes on. He says, whenever human life is valued, life is on the up and up. Okay, so that which is going down, now it's going up. When it's what? When it's valued. To lose a sense of human value is a loss of life's most potent motivation. So just like the sister was saying, she didn't know why she could get up and go and got up and gone. Didn't even hardly miss it, but just know something got to be missing, because I'm not able to do what I know I should be able to do, and I want to do it. So what's holding me back? Am I getting in my own way or what? A little bit of both. We get in our own way, and then we don't know how to get out the way, because our ego got us there from the beginning, not knowledge. Our ego got us there acting like a whatever. And the world know, well, like the king has no clothes, or our emperor has no clothes. I forget which one it is. And a child tells him. So what does it say? You got to be innocent enough to want to get purified enough to be able to accept the looking at yourself. Or maybe someone makes the observation. We used to be able to do that. You used to give us constructive criticism. You know, somebody could call us over there and, hey, young blood, you still got that little water behind you here. Let me wake you up. Let me clue you in. You know. And we fared better, because most of the time it was common sense. The world is so sophisticated now, you need scripture, science, scriptural science, with a scholarly approach. Scripture, science, scriptural science, and approach is scholarly, meaning you're going to do the research. You're not going to decorate your shed and all the titles and then, you know, and you're here and you're over there. There's nothing wrong with that. It's cool, it's really. But right now, this community needs scholarly people who can recognize scholarly people when they see them. You put that one with the other one, and then you get the desired results that you're needing in your community. It may be a school and not a building to a masjid. That's not my decision to make for you. That's your decision to make. To come together, shura baino hum. When I on the class again, it was going back and forth. And I just bowed out because I don't want to be on the side. I don't want to do this. Whoa. Then the sister said, "Look, what we should do is do what we were doing before then. We need to start talking about the problem, not teach on the problem. What is the solution? What can we do better? Start doing some of the things that we've been doing before. Don't throw the baby out with the bath water. Be clear. Read over what Imam Muhammad is saying, because it's going to sound different to you now in 2024 than it did in 2020. Or even 2009. Just like the brother told me when I was selling Mama speak, he said, man, the truth don't get old. Now, he had another agenda. He was talking about it. Yeah, well, the paper, you know, does, and what it's sharing and giving is getting old. But, you know, but the truth does not get old. It does not have an expiration date. Just because we ain't ready and we ain't there yet and we ain't did it yet, it's not going to leave the station. Now, what's going to happen? We can leave the station. We waited, didn't use our time wisely, and didn't do what we said we were going to do. Or didn't do it like we said we were going to do it, and it didn't get recognized for what it was. I hear your brilliance. I see your brilliance. I want to be around your brilliance. But if we don't see our own brilliance, we're not going to stay attractive to other people, because they're going to know that we don't know. He brilliant, don't even know. Or she brilliant, don't even know. I wrote this down. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It was a saying that came to me. Oh no, the lady I work with, she wanted me, give me some wisdom this morning. And so, you know, they think I'm some kind, I don't know. But I do know what I know. And so I told her, I said, it's never as bad as it looks. And she shook her head. I said, okay. I said, but there's another part to that. I didn't stop her and say this, but when I said it, I said, okay, that's the first part. You open up to the people's eyes. You got their attention. It's never as bad as it looks. But in order to bring good out, to bring about change, we have to look. Okay, here we go with this now. It's never as bad as it looks. It ain't over till it's over. A larger size that, not us. Don't convert. They ain't ready. They don't convert at all. Or they convert and drop. See? But them doing that or not doing that, it's never as bad as it looks. But in order to bring about change, we have to look. Don't look and become negative. Look and become a researcher and a resolute person about reading this ain't working is simply this. When she said what she said, everybody recognized it. There's still some few more comments and everything, but it was like, wow, that's the answer. That's the thing to do. Now, how many people are going to do it? I don't know. But I'm saying we saw the process. Chitter chatter in the beginning, everything was just going back and forth because we struck a nerve. And believe me, we had some nerves stricken. We've had some thoughts we had to think about. We had some hurts and pains that we need to work out. But Allah doesn't allow anything to happen unless it's His will. Now, you know, we were able to produce a new people with a certain kind of language, too. We talk Ebonics and all that other kind of stuff. I ain't talking necessarily of that. I'm talking about taking the language and saying so much with so little. Cite a couple of examples. One of them, one of the hits of a lifetime, still could be in the charts. When Marvin Gaye said, "What's going on, man?" See, what's happening with you, man? It's been so long. Tell me, give me a brief update. How you been doing? How's your mother? How's your father? How's your wife? What's going on? Then he went on into mother, mother, father, father. You know, what's happening? Why is the world up this way? The world, the weather, the everything is just perfect for that song. Because he's asking you to ask yourself, do you have any answers? And if you don't, you better find somebody who do. Because this ain't going away anytime soon. And the people who lead us is misleading us. So somebody got to stop. We got to get some help. Because I ain't going out like this. I didn't come this far to fall short Because I don't know that I don't know, and I don't know what I need to know because I don't know. I'm not falling short. See? And if you believe that, like you're supposed to believe that, like we're supposed to believe that, and we get to tell other people who believe that, we're going to do something. And it's going to get recognized, maybe not in our lifetime, but it's going to get recognized because it was the thing that needed to be done. And at the time that it needed to be done, we did it. And we didn't ask nobody's permission. We didn't get recorded, and we didn't get asked, how does it feel to be the first black to do woo-woo-woo? Come on. How did the Quakers feel? How did the pioneers feel when they finally got here and established a New York and a New Jersey and a new experimental government called democracy? Where the king didn't rule, you got elected the president. We're getting ready to do that in a little bit here. And we see nothing but unqualified leadership. So what does that mean? You better do something for yourself. You better get your life together and get it managed because these people up here playing with it and treating you like a Democrat or a Republican, trying to get your vote and tell you exactly what you want to hear so they can get you to vote and put them back in the office like they're going to do something. I haven't said anything. I haven't heard them say anything about what they're going to do. Tear down, tear up. He's old, he's a sex addict, whatever. He got voted in last time, and he didn't get a chance to do what he would have did if he'd got four more years crazy. And guess what? He might be right there looking at y'all, and he's telling, I'm the president, and I'm going to do this. Well, before that happens, you better get with your present. See? There's another saying. Let me see if I can find it right quick. I think I can quote it, though. I don't have to find it. Would have been there so I can make sure I don't misquote it. But I think I got it. I'm so present to my purpose, I'm not tense about my future. I'm so present about my purpose, I'm not tense about my future. How many people can say that? I said it because I have write it. No, I'm sorry. That's my bad. I did not write that one. I did not help write that one, but I read it and I recognize it to be well written. Said a whole lot with a little. And I like that. I like when that can happen, when it does happen. But, yeah, that's what's out there waiting on you to discover your talent, your God-given talent, and then find expression for it with excellence. And then it's out of your hands. It's out of our hands. Only Allah's will is going to do. So what they do or what they don't do, it's not on us. But what we don't do is on us. For those that were given much, much is required. I didn't say that. I'm repeating it. I'm paraphrasing it. I'm saying, let's get busy doing what we need to sit here to do. Find that purpose. Start expressing that purpose with excellence. Find an audience that wants to hear it. You ain't got to convert nobody. People should be dissatisfied enough or should have been looking for the light, knowing all this I've got knots and bumps and mistakes, and this ain't it. And then when we come, sincerely being able to lead by example, we can help somebody else turn on their light, and then they can help somebody turn on their light, and guess what happened? Exponential growth. The only problem is, like we talked about last night, outgrowing your ability to serve and meet the needs of others before you get people excited about what you can do, will do, and are able to do. Because we were mentioning about the baby boomers. What does this society do with their baby boomers? They have a retirement home. They have a place where you can go now and still, you know, I'm not going to get sent out to the pastor. Well, good, right? It shouldn't happen. But you should be looking for someone to pass the torch to. We should be looking for somebody to take a big chunk out of the old and put it with the new, and move forward with it. because, like I said before, we left just a few little things. I took a few little things from what the Nation of Islam had, and there was a lot of things that we should have taken. We threw the baby out with the bathwater. See, and one of those things, it should resonate right now. No, I'm gonna do two. Let me say two. And it didn't come with that, but it's very close behind it. So they just write that together, that we do for self, first one and foremost. We should not, never, ever, ever, ever. We should not ever, never, never, ever, never stop doing for ourselves. Do that what's for yourself and don't expect others to do. And if they do do it, make sure you got matching funds that lets you know that I'm responsible for myself. I ain't want no Section 8. I ain't want no hookups. You know, ain't want no welfare, ain't want you to acknowledge me in none of your political activities and whatnot. If you do that's your gesture, it's good. But I'm not going to let you tell me that you emancipated me when you didn't. I got my physical freedom, but I didn't have my mind and spirit free like I wanted to. You trying to sell me some bill of bad goods with that stuff you got with them images and everything. I'm not having it. I'm not wanting it. I'm not designing it to give it to my future generations. And I'm not caught up in this thing we're going to read about right now. From slave block to the hood block. It says, so you don't seek them and you don't gather behind them, but just a few. Okay, let me go up a little further. So who is he talking about? The books, he says, I'm referring to are the Bible of the Christians and the Quran of the Muslims. Some people give in to sensationalism and follow the big crowds. You have excellent help in speakers, but they're not speakers who are sensational or want sensationalism for themselves. So you don't seek them and you don't gather them, but just a few. And that is according to Scripture. I am telling you that I came here and there were only, if I came here and there were only 9 people in here, I would be just as happy as I am now. The crowd don't move me. The sincerity of the people moves me. I am not a show business man. Never was and never will be. Anything that takes your human value out of it, you and takes your human spirit away from you, enslaves you. So if you want to join the party, you want to eat the eat and do the duke on the ticker tock and make it rock and all that, and stop. Take a look at what you got. And then get your gunpowder from being wet so you can shoot your best shot. Because we got battles to win and we want to win the war. And the way we do it, it's taking just whatever little thing from Imam Muhammad, connected with that and connect with other people and further the cause and make sure that somebody is young enough to further the cause that you didn't take up. The cathedral theory or format or principle or whatever. Part of the process is getting someone to teach or to help you finish what you started. Part of the process. We can't be talking about they ain't ready. Find you someone who is ready and tell them before you select them that, hey, look, I've been watching you. I want you to be aware of what I'm doing here. I want you to be the one to take this here. And if you're not ready, tell me somebody who you think might be. But start the search for talent younger than you to finish what you're trying to do. And it might be just to start the search for someone who's younger than you who wants to be a Muslim and wants to know how religion is supposed to be so they can have Islamic knowledge and have an Islamic life. It doesn't have to necessarily be a talent or whatever. What it has to be is done immediately. That spirit should be in you to look for somebody to help you and replace you and do what you're doing. It should be there. And it shouldn't have to be repeated. You should repeat it to yourself. Tell yourself what you want to do. And start doing it. And you'll see in a minute of time after you do it, whether Allah is with you while you're doing it or you're not. because it'll be like struggling, grinding. It'll just be so hard. Now, it's not no overnight success. Everything takes time. Overtime, not overnight. That's just the fact. That's the way it is. No get-rich-quick schemes. No success. No whatever. Work, pray, work, pray, work, pray. Working on yourself and helping work on other people. And knowing, as you work, Allah makes Muslims. He helps us to get people who want to make a contribution. Imam Muhammad was his way. Prophet Muhammad, that was his way. And that's going to be the way. That's the way it's going to get done. And if we don't do that, the way it's not going to happen. You mean, we got to ask ourselves, okay, what's not happening? What I'm doing is not the way it's been done. What am I missing? Find out what it's missing. Implement it and then watch the difference. And it won't be me. It'll be all praise due to Allah. I want to hear about it, but I don't want to take no credit for it. Because I didn't want thinking like this. I wasn't acting like this. I wasn't talking like this when I started doing some of the things that I was hearing. And not just reading them out or saying to myself. So I was trying to say, okay, wait a minute. I can apply that little thing to this one, and then it can go from there. And the minute that you get on that track to start doing it that way, guess what happened? Allah bless you to do it. And you don't have to be caught up with somebody standing beside, oh, no, brother, bid'ah. Now, I'm not saying something ain't bid'ah. We can do that. See? But something, just like the word says, if it's got to be having that bid'ah. It's like, this ain't right. It's sour. This is Then you tell it ain't right. But somebody who's hooked on bid'ah and scared to get out there and do some things that are different. You're not saying pray six times. You're not doing stuff that's been established as the part of the religion. You know? Last little point, and I'm going to conclude. We're still doing it, people who are doing it. But at one time when we first reintroduced shea butter to America, because the Africans had already been doing it. But what they wouldn't do, they didn't harden it, soften it up. They didn't put no coconut oil in it. They didn't put no scent in it. They came over here with the best stuff for your skin. I put my card together, put my products together. Shea butter, your skin's best friend. And that's what we should need to be doing. Take some product, bean pine, bean soup, whatever, I don't know, whatever it is. It don't have to be a product. It can be your way of introducing people to come down to the masjid and give us a look. Take a trial run. I don't know what it is. But I do know there's a certain formula that we can develop. And once you develop your formula and you start giving a trial after a trial and see what it works and see what you need to tweak or twerk on it, you know, so that it will begin to work. And Allah is showing you that it's working because you're doing something that's beneficial and needed. And what better thing to do than what Allah says is needed and has blessed you to be the one to do it. And then you bless others, and then you got a company of people or associate of people or a community of people who are doing that. You join other people who want to do that, and it's going on. Because that's, if you look back how the religion spread, that's how it spread. People weren't nervous. You have to go over here to China. You have to go here, and since you're the embassy, you're the emissary. You go here and you do. You introduce do. And they want to say Islam was spread by sword. It was not. Good dealings and good respectful transactions with other people that didn't have your religion, and then they saw your religion, and they saw you were practicing your religion, and they said what the religion was giving you, and they said sharing is caring. I'm trying to think of what Imam Muhammad was. Okay. The Master of Cures or whatever. Cures. That's not the right one. I'm getting in there. But that's what he did. And then everything else was taken from there. You know, that statement was a value that people would recognize, you know, we care. We care enough to try to help you do better, you know. Help us to help others to help themselves. That's what we were saying. Hummus speaks. Help us to help others to help themselves. And it didn't go away. What went away was the message. We stopped getting out there in the streets and talking to people and seeing whatever. It ain't got to be the same way. This is a technological world, man. We got Zoom. We got all the resources we need. What we need now is identifying what it is we're going to do and then start doing it. And watch the attraction from others who are going to either join you or recognize it. Hey, man, you're not the one. But I wouldn't never know if I didn't tell you so. That's what we got to recognize. And as I speak to you, I speak to myself. The clock is ticking. We should be moving with aspiration and not desperation. Inspiration, aspiration, but not desperation. Our eyes came open. Our mouth came open. Our spirit came alive. And ain't no stopping us now. You know? So I hope that we've heard sufficient enough. I know that me, myself, I know I have to do more. You know? But I have to equip myself to do more. That's the thing that sometimes we don't hear when we say we got to do more. See, got to prepare ourselves to do more. Because just doing something is not necessarily what we need to do. We need to do what needs to be done now. And we've identified what needs to be done now, and that's what we start doing. And it'll tell us whether it is what it is or it's not. See? Once you see, what is it, PDCA, plan development? I forget that saying, but that's what it is. Where you put it out there, you see what it's, you test the market, you see what kind of experience, and then like I said before, you become good at a talent scout. You're looking for people who are younger than you, who can get excited about what you're doing, and they want to help you, or help the cause really. You know, they may not even have converted. They may not even think, you know, it may sound like it's just a thing to do, the business, the enjoyment, the satisfaction of helping your fellow being, helping us as a people rise to that level that we know we should rise and shine. So anyway, let me conclude with that. And if there's anybody here that hasn't commented or wants to comment, please push your one on your phone and come in. Because I'm not trying to, like the young mom said, I'm not trying to entertain. I want people to be know that we have something that's of value, and that we're serious about it, and we're committed about it, and we want to tell you about it. And then the next step is on you, you know. And you know, we have other programs at other times that are equally as well as what I try to bring with content and context of what the formula is and then what makes it work, you know. So you can get the same results or better, because sometimes people don't realize, you know, they're more eloquent speakers, you know, and they do an excellent job of telling you something and sharing something with you because they have the great speaking ability. But that doesn't change the ability for you to convince and convert people because they see your sincerity. You know? Maybe people don't have the little poetry or the little stuff that I do, but they have a genuineness in their heart, and they have the desire and the strength and the courage to get out there and share the bit that they know or the little that they know with somebody else. And then track it and see what happens. You know, the more you see that way, the more you see what you need to do that way. Okay, they didn't even. I gave them too much. It sounded like a big assignment. You know, I should cut back on what this is and just introduce them and then let them see if they could come and get a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And just like it says, growing like a plant. Do the way you grow a plant. And if you haven't never grown a plant, find out how they grow plants. and then find an assigned group of people who are X amount of age. That's your demographic. If you're a female and you're comfortable with female, if you're a female and you're comfortable with male and female, same thing with the male. Wherever you find a comfort zone, because you're comfortable in your own skin, you realize you're ready to address some needs and share what beneficials that's needed in the world today, the leadership that's needed, and you want to share with them that you are a reader and you are a leader. And if they will become a reader, they will become leaders. But everyone who is a leader is a reader, but everyone who's a reader is not a leader. And if we get that straight, then we can start to identify the talented people that are out there, just don't even know that they will want to be a part of something because they haven't been asked. And when we can ask them and slowly show them that maybe the physical thing is not there, but the inspiration and the aspiration is there, and we can do this together, and next thing you know, we can have the physical thing there. Whatever that step led us to and is leading us to, then we will be able to do what we promise. And we will recognize this last thing here. I'm gonna see if Brother Mark can help me with the ending here, or someone who can help me with the ending. It works. It works, especially when we work with it, when we work for it, and we work with someone else who's ready to work with it and for it. There's nothing more better than to do something with somebody else, and they have the same spirit, the same mind, and the same desire to bring about something that's good on the earth. And when they leave, they're leaving that more than just no legacy. It's time. It's legacy building time. The opportunity is there. And we need to do it in the lifetime of the opportunity. If we are dealing with the opportunity of the lifetime, we need to recognize that there's a lifetime of the opportunity, too. They're both there. And if we don't do, somebody else will, and the credit will go to them. So we're meant to be conscious of, when you see the lifetime, opportunity of a lifetime, also recognize the opportunity has a lifetime. Okay, so, like I said before, I don't know if Brother Mark is on his phone or not on his phone, but if he is, let's see him come through. If not, I'm going to call on Sister Amira to help me talk about some of the programs, their dates and times, and conclude here with tonight's lecture. So I don't see him coming on. So Sister Amira, would you be that person?
I don't know how of course, let's see.
We can go. We don't have to go all the way back to me and Saturday. And, you know, let's go and just talk about some of the people who are on that we know about, like tomorrow maybe, and all the way to Thursday or maybe Friday, you know, Saturday, whatever we can do to let people know. And I'm gonna have a definite written up script next week. I must. Let's just do that. And tomorrow night have what?
I'm gonna text you to tell you where to go to get it. Like when Mark ends on the program, on one of the recorders I sent you, you can get it from there.
Right.
Okay. So Tuesdays for IWDM Radio, that's Rashid Salam.
Right.
His program. What is it? Where is
something to do with health, right?
Yeah, for him and Brother Abdul Shahid.
Okay.
Also, Rashid is talking about it's Health is Your Wealth, and he has another program on finance. And that's on Tuesday at 60 Park on IWDM.
That's Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
Is that? Okay.
714-816-4066. Same number as this one. And then we have March program, parenting learning lab. The six, along with 6 to 7, and then we have a round table for 7 to 8, and the same number as this one here. And then Thursday he has the Poor Ship and Mary program, which is six to eight, same number. And then Friday he talks about a Juma.
Okay, let me ask you a question. That number, is that 714-816-4673?
73 or 79. This one, the same one, is this one here. I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared.
Okay, I'm just looking at my website, and that's where it says guest call in. I know that. I think they had changed it. Did they change the number?
It's 714-816.
Yeah.
4673. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah.
And then Saturday, I'm not sure about that one.
I know, that's the book club.
Oh, with Brother Imam.
Sophia, right? Michael Sophia.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still on the one, go ahead.
I haven't been on his program for a minute.
Right, but I'm just saying, he's reading the mother of our book. He's reading Clara Evans, Muhammad, and her volume one and volume two, I think he's still on volume one. Mm-hmm.
The nature, that's Saturday. I'm not sure about Sunday. We lined up this on Sunday.
Sunday is where's make people.
Okay, well, Brother Saint, well, Imam Safir. Okay. I don't know that
mm-hmm.
time frame because I haven't been there.
And then doesn't he do a Juma? He does it for.
Oh yeah, he does.
I thought
Juma.
Somebody did.
Juma.
Right.
Okay. And then here we go back again to Monday to your program.
Right. And like I said before, like if you send it out, and I'll have it really condensed and ready and whatnot because it just. On my part, I'm doing so much, and I say I'm gonna do it, and I don't do it, but it needs to be done because it's just making me a well-rounded program if I can do that, you know.
Okay, so when I send you this, it's not gonna be on this one. We're gonna have to go to a previous one. The Mark is on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving the lineup. So but it's going to be on the previous ones that you
okay.
that I sent you.
Yeah, you know what? Allah bless us to get it, you know, because like I said, well, it's needed, and it really reflects the next step. I mean, like I said, well, it's telling me that's the next step, be able to announce and promote the other people on there as well as and don't have one person you know who wants to do it can do it. We should all have a little bit of ability to do that. So, that's how I feel.
And I'll write it down too. I'll write it down and have it available too. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, thank you very much, and thank you. I hope you. I don't know what you were saying. You were absent because you had something going on in your personal life and or your professional life. I'm not sure which, but you know that's great of you to do what you need to do, and then. Do what you can do when duty calls to be a part of the program, and I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. I'm a little irate. Like I said, you said so much that was I asked a lot of the light of understanding, and it just flowed from you, you know. So,
Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, that's the way I figure it's supposed to. When that is your calling, I mean, I've been told a lot of times. I mean, you should write a book, and so that's my next step, is to try to get some books out here, or a book at least, and then that'll give me the confidence to do another one if I can get one done. And I got all the material, I just have not executed or given myself permission, really. And that's the part along with what you're saying. You have to give yourself permission to do these things. Or not do these things. I mean, it's not all about doing. It's some things that when we shouldn't be doing that it's not helping, and we're doing it because we're creatures of habit.
Well, you know what?
Go ahead.
He goes back to what you said. What you don't know that you don't know. You don't even know that you don't know.
Oh,
you
yeah.
think you know. And it's
right.
so real. It's that's so appropriate because I said I don't know that I don't know if I did it make a difference. But the other part that you put into it was so appropriate because sometimes we don't know that. The way you said it was just so appropriate. So,
yeah. That is a rich, like I said. Yeah. And I'm glad you're recognizing because. Yes. It is just a wealth of taking a little. Little is it does a lot, you know, and when I first started trying to write, there was one thing, one maxim my mentor told me. She said, less is more, you know. If you take all day to say, you know, take 25 pages to say what you really were trying to get to, you know, you're going to lose them. They're not going to stay with you for 25 pages. You say, now, I said all that to say, no, unless you are really phenomenal, no one's going to stay with you and wait for 25 pages for you to get to your punchline. You know, it's just too much to ask, you know.
Mm-hmm. I did a lot. You know, he'll help us along the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. We got to give ourselves permission. I mean, so that's where I'm at now, and then I'll get better as I move down the line, because that's the whole thing about it. If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be challenging. It's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he said, if you make one step,
go ahead.
He said, if you make one step, take the rest. So, you know.
Absolutely. Each one reach one, each one teach one. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said before, I'm going to conclude. We have other people on there, and we'll see y'all next week and everything. And it's been a great start, and we hope that some results will come from this one and be able to share again some results on next Monday or next time you're on. And
okay, well,
I look forward to that. Beg pardon?
Make sure I'm sending this one out, because it's definitely needs to be heard. I'll tell you.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Right. Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, those. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, and I appreciate you, and may Allah bless you with a wonderful evening and a wonderful week.
Yes, sir. You
too, as well. Assalamu alaikum. So I greet the greetings to the people who are in attendance and also those who didn't attend. Let me see what we didn't do. Okay, hold on. That's funny. Anyway, it's not funny. So, oh, there it is. Okay, so let me greet you all with the greetings only Allah can give. And that's assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you again for listening in, and we pray that we will be able to talk to you again this time Monday. And don't forget the many faceted programs that are coming on throughout the week. Sorry I didn't have an exact program thing, but if you really wanted, you'll find out what it is. And just remember the number is 714-816-4673, and the times are as spoken as far as the listening audience is concerned. So, assalamu alaikum.